why a series on the Holy Spirit? Because doctrine is beautiful. Because doctrine presented in God's Word is beautiful. So think of it this way. What a doctrinal series does is it lifts us from one particular passage and allows us to see the Bible as one book. It presents to us the teaching on something like the Holy Spirit in a way that allows us to see what God's Word says from beginning to end.
Hello, loved ones, and welcome back to Live in the Light. I'm your host, Craig Turnbull, and joining me today at the beginning of a brand new series is our teacher, Pastor Robbie Simons. Robbie, I'm going to turn it over to you right away so you can fill in our listeners on where we're headed for the next few weeks at least.
Yeah, again, an important time here at Live in the Light because it's a very important teaching that honestly, and Craig, you understand this too, it's often neglected within the church. We are entering into a series on the Holy Spirit. That's right. Several days here on Live in the Light dedicated to the teaching on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, specifically the person of the Holy Spirit, His presence, and His power within our lives. As we have taught this in different settings and have spoken to people who receive this kind of teaching, it's amazing how many people have responded with, you know, I've never been specifically taught on who the Holy Spirit is. I've never understood the significance of His role in my life. Sometimes the church can even become Father, Son, Holy Bible, or there's other segments of Christendom, as we'll hear today, that can be so enthralled with the Holy Spirit, they actually go beyond the borders of Scripture. And so we're trying to bring a balance to this and to present God's truth one verse at a time on this massively important and exciting topic to understand who is the Holy Spirit and why is He absolutely essential for everything I seek to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we pray right now here at Living the Light, you're already kind of saying, I want to know more. I need to know who He is. And so today we start with an introductory message on the person of the Holy Spirit. And this message is entitled, Who is the Holy Spirit? So if you were asked that question, what would you say? Well, that's answered today, not by me, not by someone else, but by the Word of God. And so we're thrilled you are here. We always love to hear from you. And especially as we go into this, tune in each day as God changes you and speaks to you on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit of God.
Okay, as Robbie said, a foundationally important series. And just a reminder, if you'd like to get a copy of today's message, or if you'd like to pick up a copy of a message maybe you'll miss in the next couple weeks, make sure you visit us online at liveinthelight.ca or phone us up at 1-844-22-LIGHT. All right, here again is Pastor Robbie with today's message entitled, Who is the Holy Spirit?
Today we begin a new series. An exciting series, I pray, a wonderful life-changing series, we pray, and this is a series on none other than the Holy Spirit Himself. The plan is to do this for several weeks, but the plan as the nature of this series kind of unfolds itself is it would truly be one that is led by the Spirit of God. That is our sincere desire. Again, we have a plan of what we see to have happened during this series, but we want to be as open as ever to how the Spirit of God would decide this would go according to the Word of God. And in an attempt to get your attention and interest right off the bat, I want to start with what I believe is a provocative quote on the Holy Spirit. So here it is. Thomas Arnold said this, "He who does not know God, the Holy Spirit, cannot know God at all." So I want you to look at that. I want you to think about that. I want you to consider that truth because it is a truth. He who does not know, she who does not know God, the Holy Spirit, cannot know God at all. So what that means then, that means that the next several weeks are very, very important to us as a people, as a church, because we desire to know God and therefore we must also know God, the Holy
Spirit. Now, why is that statement true, that we must know God, the Holy Spirit, if we're going to know God at all? Well, here's why. Because the Bible tells us and teaches us there is one God in three persons. There is one God represented in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Now, here's what we understand. That theology is rock solid. There's no exceptions to that. So what you're not allowed to do is you're not allowed to say, yeah, one God and the two parts of the Trinity that I kind of feel comfortable with and the one part I don't, I'm going to kind of neglect or leave off to the side. It doesn't work that way. You can't choose your favorite two and leave the third behind. For whatever reason that might be, if we're truly worshiping the one God, that one God is represented in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So that is why then we are taking the time to unpack, to unfold, and to explain the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. The understanding of the Holy Spirit, what I love about this, the understanding of the Holy Spirit in this room is all over the place right now. Some are very informed as to the person of the Holy Spirit. Some are not informed at all. And that necessarily is not a bad thing in terms of there are so many new believers in our church, so many people even seeking the things of Jesus Christ in this place, even right now. But that's why a doctrinal series can be so powerful, so pertinent, and I pray so precious. Now, as pastor of this church, one of the things I value deeply is that we would have clarity and that we would have the ability to be on the same page as we start a series like this to see maximum fruitfulness as we go forward together. We're not trying to leave people behind intentionally. So I want to do that right now. How do we get on the same page? How do we bring clarity to this moment? It's by doing this. Let's start off by asking the question, why a series on the Holy Spirit? Now, this message today is one of introduction. It's going to be a little bit atypical than what we're used to. We're not going to be focusing on one specific passage alone. We're going to be taking this from a systematic, a theological approach from God's Word on who the Holy Spirit is today. But I want to start here by doing this, asking the question, why a series on the Holy Spirit? And as we answer that, I want us to stir us up by way of reminder, as the Apostle Peter says, that it may be helping us and getting us again together on the same page. So I got four reasons as to why we're doing a series on the Holy Spirit. And the first one is this. I want you to see this on the screen here. Why a series on the Holy Spirit? Because doctrine is beautiful. Because doctrine presented in God's Word is beautiful. So think of it this way. What a doctrinal series does is it lifts us from one particular passage and allows us to see the Bible as one book. It presents to us the teaching on something like the Holy Spirit in a way that allows us to see what God's Word says from beginning to end. And so this is what we're going to seek to do again through this series on the Holy Spirit. This is where doctrine is so beautiful. Because what happens sometimes in our Bible study, we can be in one chapter, one paragraph, one sentence, one phrase even. I love that. That's so good. That's so helpful. But if all we're doing is trying to parse the verbs and look into specific phrases and we never look up, we might actually miss out on the forest through the trees. So what happens is, as a good Bible student, you want to know what the verse says, but you want to know how it fits into the Bible as a whole. It's called biblical theology, systematic theology. It's very important to maturity in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're in the details, but we see the big picture. Why? So we see God's plan of salvation, that the Bible is really one book, especially as it pertains, again, to the person of the Holy Spirit. So as a kid, my parents described, I think for me, I think it was the magazine, I think it was Owl Magazine as a kid. I think I got Owl Magazine. Some of you are like, oh yeah, I remember that. Some of you are still around. And one of the things, I think it was this magazine, but in the magazine, one of my favorite parts wasn't actually the reading in it, it was the pictures presented in the magazine. That should be no shock to some of you who know me well. But as a kid there, some of these pictures, it was like this little clue where you saw a very up-close picture and you had to guess what it was. And I love that part. You're looking at it. What is it? What is it? And then you go to the back and see the answer key. Oh, I got it right. Oh, I got it wrong. And so we're going to do a little bit of that right now. Okay. I got some examples here I want to show you of up close pictures that we can look at. A little test for you to see. Here's the first one. Let's see the first picture on the screen there. Look, kind of looks like a burnt out cigarette, but it's not. All right. This is actually a super up close picture of an apple stem. Oh, interesting, right? So it's fascinating, the details, to see it there. But, you know, if that's all you saw, you would miss the big picture, right? Here's the next one. See if you know what this is. A little easier. A battery, someone said. Nice try. Ballpoint pen. All right. It's a red ballpoint pen. You see the ink there dripping and kind of beautiful. Look at that close again. Helpful to see the details, but you might be missing the greater picture. Here's the last one I wanted to show you. You guys are loving this, aren't you? Hey, you love this. Yeah, I know. Me too. Guess what this is? Some of you will get it. Some say a grain of salt. It's actually a white grain of sugar. Okay, a single white grater. Now, beautiful and interesting, but if this is all that you saw, you'd be missing the greater picture. We are in this series right now because we want to see in detail, but we want to look up and get the greater picture of what the Bible says on the person, the presence, the power of the Holy Spirit as to the teaching, the doctrine. By the way, doctrine is just the word in the Bible for teachings. Don't be afraid of that word. It just means teachings. What are the teachings on the Holy Spirit? And we're going to see that doctrine is beautiful. Another way to say it is this way, all right? The view from the 15th floor is very different than the view from the first floor. If you check in a hotel and you're excited to be there and there's some great kind of views around and you get signed in and you find out you're on the first or second floor, you're like, oh, right? Oh, bummer, right? But then you get to the 10th or the 15th or the 20th floor and you get up there and the views are night and day. That's what we're seeking to do through this series right now. This is what doctrine does, loved ones. Do not avoid the power, the beauty of doctrine. Second reason we do this series here, because doctrine is just that. It is powerful. Do you know the Holy Spirit shows up in the second verse of the Bible? The second verse in Genesis 1, verse 2. The Spirit of God hovering over the waters, and the teaching of God's Spirit carries all the way through to the book of Revelation, of course. So what this series does, it shows us the supernatural unity found in the Bible. When you study doctrine in this way, it's remarkable. It is truly incredible to see how this book, written over 1,500 years through dozens of authors in three different languages. I mean, just think about that. And then you read it and you see the unity from start to finish on the teachings represented in something like the Holy Spirit. If you sit back far enough and you say, wow, that's incredible. No human could have ever come up with this. This is a book truly written by God with such varied teachings, always agreeing with one another, complementing each other. And I pray, we pray, this series would fuel our faith in the Word, in the Lord, and ultimately in the person of the Holy Spirit as well. This is the power of doctrinal studies and series. We need to appreciate it. We need to grow to love it and be changed by it. Here's another reason we're doing this series. It's because the Holy Spirit is often either neglected or misapplied. The Holy Spirit in many evangelical circles of Christendom is either neglected or on the other side, it can be totally misapplied. You could even say at times abused. A series on the Holy Spirit is so needed because in many evangelical circles right now, because of fear, see, because the Holy Spirit has been misapplied in certain circles, many churches, many denominations, many leaders, they're afraid of the extremes. And so whether intentionally or subtly what has happened over time is they actually become a church, listen, that can be described as Father, Son, Holy Bible. Think about that. Father, Son, Holy Bible. And that becomes a very serious problem because what ends up happening is out of fear of the misapplication of Holy Spirit, they actually begin to neglect the Holy Spirit. Now, let's understand why that's such a problem, right? For the same circles to neglect the Father would be seen as irreverent and extremely sinful. For the same circles to neglect the Son of God would be seen as seriously sinful and problematic. Tremendously sinful. But here's what you got to understand. You can't neglect the Holy Spirit either. Because it's one God in three persons. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. To neglect the Holy Spirit and to be fearful of what he might do is to neglect God himself. Because again, you can't take the two you like and the one that you're most uncomfortable with you push to the side. You can't do that. Not being truly biblical with understanding what God has taught and said within his word. To neglect the Holy Spirit is to neglect God himself. But the other side of the spectrum is this. The other side of the spectrum is that there's the tragic neglect of the Holy Spirit, but then there's the abuse or the misapplication of certain circles of the Holy Spirit present in our day and over time as well. And in these circles of Christendom, what you often have is a kind of spiritual chaos or spiritual confusion. And there might be such an emphasis on the Holy Spirit or specific aspects of his gifts that what ends up happening is that in the pursuit of the Holy Spirit and his gifts, you actually cease to become governed or guided by the Word of God. And what they fail to realize sometimes is the moment you cease to become governed or guided by the Word of God, listen, you cease to become governed or guided by the Holy Spirit himself. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is always in tune with God's word. The Holy Spirit's never beyond God's word. The Holy Spirit's never contradicting God's word. The Holy Spirit and the word of God always are like a team, in tandem, together. The Holy Spirit uses God's word, and God's word is illumined by us by the Holy Spirit. So ironically, amazingly, circles of Christianity that take the Holy Spirit and go beyond the Word of God, what they have done in the pursuit of the Holy Spirit, they have actually left the Holy Spirit behind because they are no longer under the guidance and the governance of the Word of God himself, which the Holy Spirit would never do himself. So you have Father, Son, Holy Bible. You have people that are in kind of a place of spiritual chaos and confusion. Now, here's what I know. Here's what I love about our church. You have many people in this place right now, in this church, that have come from the background of Father, Son, Holy Bible in one way or another. And you would know that, and there would be a real interest to say, what does the Bible teach about the Holy Spirit? But also in this room right now, you have people coming from backgrounds that have been kind of where the Holy Spirit maybe has been unbiblically portrayed or applied. So here's our opportunity. I genuinely love this as pastor of this church. We're here together. We're reading the word together. We're seeking the Lord together. And we're pursuing the Holy Spirit together. That is such a privilege and such a blessing. What I love about our church too, because there's so many different backgrounds and so many different nations and so many different languages and again, so many different kind of upbringing some ways in the faith, but we're here together. When people walk into our church, so often our church messes them up in this way. They come in, they can't figure us out. They come in here, you're like, for the truth, you're preaching expository sermons, you're in the word, your theology is conservative and relative terms, and you're there, and you must be kind of, the church is really serious on the word. And other people come in, there's a passionate expression for the Lord, there's a desire for the Holy Spirit to move in our midst, and there's even almost, some people come in and say, you guys are a charismatic church, and so you have the kind of the fundamentalist side on the one, and then you have the kind of the charismatic side, and we're in the middle, and they come in there, we can't figure it out. I love that, man. I hope it never changes, you know? We mess with their minds, praise the Lord. Do we have it figured out? Not at all. We don't have it figured out at all, but we're trying to be a church of truth, amen? A church of the Holy Spirit, amen? Right? And the fullness of both, just like Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth, and the power of the Holy Spirit, and the truth of God's word. That's our desire. So I pray we continue to mess with people's minds as long as we're here, right? That's a good sign, I believe, that we are in the will of God, because it should be the pursuit of both Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all rooted in the truth of God's word. And that's part of our mission now, again, in this series. I'm excited about that. I pray you are as well. Huge opportunity, coming together, loving each other in this pursuit, truly Spirit-led. Here's a last reason I want you to see that we're in this series is because this is very important. Because neglect or abuse of the Holy Spirit will always equal an immature, weak, low spiritual life. Because think about it, if you neglect the Holy Spirit, you're neglecting God. If you're neglecting God, how can you possibly be fully in his will? How can you possibly be growing into maturity in Jesus Christ when the Holy Spirit is everything for that in our lives? On the other side, if you're abusing the Holy Spirit, misapplying his teachings, well, then of course you're grieving the Spirit of God. And to grieve the Spirit of God means that you are forfeiting certain aspects of blessing and growth and likeness to Jesus Christ and his power in our lives. So this is why we do a series on the Holy Spirit, because the reality is, and this is just true, so many Christians are floundering and really living defeated lives, it seems. One of the things I want you to consider right now as we enter into this series, and in this room right now, so many are so weak. So many are so weary. So many, in some ways, are wasting away. What sincerity does right now I understand God's will includes difficulty. It promises suffering. It includes trial. I get that. But there's a whole segment of our lives living in Jesus Christ that the reason we're so powerless and so discouraged and so weak and feeling so wasted is because we have failed to acknowledge, to worship, to invite, and to beg for the true presence of the Holy Spirit of God to work in and through our lives. The reality is there's many of us living this life in Christ and we're trying to do it on our strength. Loved ones, one of the bottom lines of this whole message, this whole series is so simple as this. It's impossible to do the Christian life apart from the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. He is everything. And we're going to learn that this series. He's the one who changes your life for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the praise and honor of the Father as well. The Holy Spirit is the one who does this. And I'm praying we will look at our lives with sincerity and say, here's what I know, just this, many of us, when's the last time we've ever really thought about the Holy Spirit's role in our lives? Prayed to him, longed for him, and looked to him. I pray that all changes, and that all changes now. So think about how important the role of prayer becomes right now. I'm going to pray for what we're about to do over the next several weeks. Hey, loved ones, please pray with me, please. Men, women, children, please don't let Pastor be up here by himself praying. If we all pray, just even now, longing that God would work, longing for his Spirit to move, because when he does, everything changes. Longing for you and your home and your children and your marriage and your friends and your workplace and your neighbors and your church family and your group and whatever it might be, just longing for the Spirit of God to move in this land and to save the lost, and all of that's accomplished by him. I'm going to pray. Please don't let me pray alone. Agree with me. Pray as I pray, and let's expect God to do great things. Okay, let us do that right now. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, strengthen us for your service, we pray. Oh, God, I pray. Spirit of God, we worship you. We need you. And I do pray so much, Lord, at this time and through this series, you will be sending a wave of such blessing, Lord, igniting hearts through faith, that the wind of God's power and favor would blow through this place, Lord, and be igniting hearts and bringing people from death to life, oh Lord, that you will be causing minds to be open and eyes to see, oh Lord, that you will be saving marriages, Lord, and saving children from death, oh Lord, that you will be allowing, oh Lord, Jesus Christ, and by your Holy Spirit, so many awesome things to take place even now. God, would you do that? Would you do that? I pray there's unity now given by the Holy Spirit of God, fellowship in the Spirit. I pray there's agreement. I pray there's an expectation. I pray there's power. God, would you do this? We need you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Please, oh Lord, may this be such an unusually distinct and powerful time, such a life-changing time. God, anything but apathy, anything but routine, anything but going through the motions. I pray. I beg with you, together we do. We seek you, oh Lord. Have your way in us. Use this time, Lord, to change us, to change thousands around us, that you get glory. May this series on the Holy Spirit truly be that, led by, empowered by, filled by, and giving glory to Jesus Christ. Lead us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Now, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, if you agree, please say, amen. Amen. I always believe in that. Amen. So, where do we go right now? How do you start a series on the Holy Spirit officially? You do this. You have to ask and answer the question now, who is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? Who is he? What does the Bible teach us about him? We're going to answer that in very specific ways. Here's the first answer to this question. Who is the Holy Spirit? Answer number one is the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to John 14 right now. Please open your Bibles to John chapter 14. Again, this message is atypical. It's not our normal one passage message. We're going to have a lot of verses on the screen, but I do want us to look at some verses in the Gospel of John, some key verses. So I want to start off with John chapter 14. And as you're turning there, I want us to think about this. I want us to think about Star Wars. Yeah, that got your attention. It always does, huh? That's our world, isn't it? Isn't it? Now, Star Wars was super big in when I was a kid. Super big. My personal favorite movie is Return of the Jedi. I was like 10 when it came out. It was amazing. And of course, Star Wars is so big in our day to day. It's, you know, that new movie that was just released and stuff and all that. I had some family. They went to see it without me. And I'm still really bitter at them for doing that. So, but we'll get over that eventually, all right? So I haven't seen that new movie yet, but one of the most famous phrases in Star Wars is, may the force be with you, right? Probably one of the most famous phrases. You come up with your own phrases, whatever. I am your father. That's a good one too, right? Yeah, that's a good one. But may the force be with you. But I also love the one, I think it's Obi-Wan who said to Luke way back in the early movies, Luke, use the force. Love that. Use the force, Luke. Right? So it's so interesting. You talk about the force and the force. May the force be with you. And the, when we're kind of going through Star Wars, what we soon figure out, the force is a thing. The force isn't it. You're looking for it. You hope that thing shows up to help you beat the bad guys, right? Star Wars is talking about a force that is a thing or it. Let's be crystal, crystal clear, all right? The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is and he. And so we have to refer to him as he is. He is a person. It's amazing how many Christians, though, either don't think of him much at all, or when they do, they treat him as an it. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He is a distinct personal being. We must train ourselves in how we speak, because what happens is if we're speaking improper theology, our language will turn into what we believe. Here's why this is important. If you refer to the Holy Spirit as an it, over time, you will treat him as an it. If you treat him as an it, you are ceasing to treat him as God, because God is not an it. God is one God in three persons. So this is important. You don't refer to the Holy Spirit as a force or as an impersonal being or as an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is a he. Now, consider how the Bible describes the Holy Spirit as a person. This is where we're in John 14. Look at John 14, verse 16 now. Verse 16. Look for the personal pronouns in the verses we're about to go through, okay? John 14, 16. Jesus says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper." Notice capital H helper, paraclete, comforter. We're going to come to this in weeks to come. We're going to spend a whole sermon on these verses here. Excited for that. He says, "To be with you forever." Now look at verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom, okay, right there, he's a person, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But notice this, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. There's no question Jesus undeniably, irrefutably referring and addressing the Holy Spirit as the third person in the Trinity.
Thanks for listening to Live in the Light today. If you'd like to hear this message again or any messages in this series, visit us online at liveinthelight.ca. Live in the Light exists to see radical transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth. We believe that through the faithful and passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened. Our prayer is as people are impacted by Live in the Light, they will be renewed in mind, reinforced in faith, and resolved in will to live in Jesus Christ. That's all for today. Join us next time at Live in the Light.